to save us from ourselves, save us from the devil, save us from judgment, and to unleash your blessings on mankind. As we share tonight, we trust you that by your Spirit, you will make sense of all of this, so that we can enter into the fullness of the privileges it offers us. In Jesus' name we pray. We're going to talk about tested death by the grace of God for all men, for all men. The emphasis is for all men. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might test death for everyone. See the atoning sacrifice that freed us from our sins through the blood of Jesus is one thing every Christian must believe. Unfortunately, many don't even understand it, not a talk of believing it. But we should understand it and believe it. If you don't, you are going to rob yourself of the rest of the blessings of God. You are. So in 1 John 2:2, the scripture tells us who Jesus is. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins. Not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. So by the grace of God, he tasted death for all men. 1 John 4:10. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away, our sins. And having done that, church, there is no more need for any other sacrifice. No need for any other sacrifice. So the Bible says in Hebrews 10:18, and when sin have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any other sacrifice. In no way try to offer God many sacrifices. Sometimes we think that our fasting, we pay for our sin. Sometimes we think our confession, we pay for our sin. Sometimes we think our crying, we pay for our sin. Sometimes we commit sin. Sometimes we do a amount of things. Somebody said, Pastor, I've not left my room today. I said, why? He said, what I did. I said, is that being in your room that will take care of your sin? That's absolute ignorance. Friends, let me tell us the truth. Many Christians do not understand the atoning power of the blood. When we talk of the blood, we think only of the devil. We think it's talismanic. Why are you doing incantation? It's about the sin of mankind. And we sing it all the time. What can wash away my sin? And we say, nothing. So if we sing it, why don't we understand it, believe it, act along that way, and honor Jesus? A lot of things we do thinking that it will atone for our sins. Sometimes we do saraka, we give gifts to people thinking that will atone. No. None of that will atone for our sins. There are wonderful things to do. They are always wonderful. A Christian should confess his sins if he sins. But that's not what takes away your sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. If you like, confess from now to Monday. If you like, fast from now to Monday. If you like, without death, your sin remains. It is this sacrifice that has brought forgiveness of our sins by God. It's important. That has brought forgiveness of our sins by God. Hebrews 10:8. First, Christ said, you did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burnt offerings or other offerings for sin. God doesn't want any other offering for sin. In any shade, in anything you are giving God as offering for sin, it's abomination. You won't look at it. nor were you pleased with them, even those that were required by the law. Then he said, look, I've come to do your will. He cancels the first covenant with all those laws and things, because nothing in the old covenant could take away our sin. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. Zero. So the Bible says God canceled it because he couldn't solve the problem, a huge problem that mankind was facing. So God canceled it. He canceled the first covenant in order to put the second into place. Why? Verse 10. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. You can't duplicate it. You can't replicate it. It's just that singular sacrifice. There is nothing else. Church, nothing else. Not even your Holy Communion, but nothing else. You know, sometimes we think that if you cry enough, that atones for your sin. Nothing can be further from the truth. It's good to cry. It's good to, if that helps you, it's good to really have sorrow for your sin. Because without sorrow, there's no genuine repentance. Genuine repentance has sorrow with it. Godly sorrow that makes you say, this and I do is wrong. And then you make effort not to do it again. But that's not what takes away your sin. That's not what solves. That's not what. Why? That's not what takes them. The whole world stand guilty before God. The entire world. In Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 11. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Verse 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Verse 17. And the way of peace, have they not known? 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. 19. Now we know that what things soever the law said, he said to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. All the world guilty before God. 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, by the deeds of the law, shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Then verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It was a hopeless situation. Man was in serious trouble. Mankind was in very... even in heaven, when you read the book of Revelation, they say when there was nobody who could open the seal, there was sorrow. They all finished. And then the news came, the Lamb. Somebody shout hallelujah. The news came that the Lamb is able to open that seal. Ephesians 2:12 gives us a picture of mankind. That at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, has nothing to do with God at all, have no hope in this our world, and without God in this world. No Christ. No God, no hope, hopeless situation. And you know, in human nature exists that consciousness of hopelessness. They may not listen to you when you preach, but in every human nature exists. Even when you are saved, that thing still gnaws at you. That's why people feel that God can't accept it. I remember one of my relations, the wife told him to pray. He said, if I pray, will they not be saying, who is that? He said, you are the one they know.
So you should pray. See what's gnawing at him? Is that consciousness of the fact that he's under condemnation by God? It's in every human being. Except those who have come to realize the forgiveness that Christ offers. If you tell them to do something, they say, no, let's look for Reverend Father. Let's look for this. Let's look for this. Because they know inside of them, there's that consciousness that they're under condemnation. It's always there. You know, Paul, when Paul met Jesus on the way to where? Damascus. When Jesus confronted him, you know the first thing he told Jesus? I am guilty. I am sinful. Don't sin me. That thing that's in every man. That thing that's in, he showed up. Look at it now. Acts chapter 22, verse 18. And saw him saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. So I said, God said, get out of Jerusalem. They will not receive your testimony concerning me. So this is what he said. He said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. He started to recount his sins. Started recounting it to God. You know I did all of this. So he said, I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by consenting to his death. See, he was telling God, see what I did. And guarding the clothes of those who killed him, who were killing him. Then he said to me, depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. God said, I know all of that, but I'm sending you. Even when you are saved, it still comes to know you. The devil uses it to know you. And that's why people don't believe their prayers will be answered. They don't have confidence in their relationship with God because they don't understand the atoning power of the blood. I'm telling you people the truth. That's why they're looking for prophets running all over the place. They don't understand the basis of that relationship is the blood washed away their sins and made them acceptable to God. They don't. And it is this man looking for solution for his guilt and judgment before God. I gave rise to so many religions. All these religions is trying to find a way to get back to God, a way to have relationship with God, a way to enjoy the blessing of God, a way to enjoy, and all of it. So you go to a native doctor, he tells you how many chicken to bring. So when they slaughter it, then the gods will now bless you. You know, I told you when I was in secondary school, Oruku, they used to do all manner of sacrifices. And all the plate I used to eat, I picked them there. Very beautiful plate. I just picked them, washed them. That was my, I was eating them to eat. And their egg, I collect everything, boil and eat all of it. It didn't mean anything. It didn't mean nothing to me. You know, a youngster didn't think I didn't know anything. These people are keeping eggs. We collect the thing and boil it. Eat everything. Am I not here? I'm here. That was an attempt to find favor with the gods. Every religion is trying to solve this problem because man knows he's under judgment. Remember, God created man in his own image. That's why man is the most sophisticated being. That's why man went to the moon. All this you are doing is because God created him in his own image. So man is performing beyond other animals. No. Watch every religion. They profile to you a process. If you do this, then God will accept you. The blessings will come to you. When you die, you go to heaven. Some of them promise you 70 virgins. But you know the problem with my son, Onyeka, we call it. He said, all these self-made projects. Self-made. Projects that people make. It's not of God. The problem with that is this. Psalm 3:8 is the problem with that. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessings is upon your people. The problem is that man can never save himself. All these attempts we do and do this, it won't save you. Stop all of that. Just believe what Jesus did, and the Spirit of God will take over from you. If you want to really have fellowship with the Spirit of God, walk in the light. Walk in the scripture. Walk in the truth. Believe the word of God. Agree with him. Agree with his testimony. He will guide you. This thing is part one. Sunday we'll see part two. You will see that the resurrection, the death of Jesus and the resurrection, they are playing together. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. There's no man that is your salvation. Salvation cannot come from you. Know it today. So all this self-made project, you do this and you do this, it's waste of time. Galatians 5:4. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. You either choose grace or the law, but not both. People are confused, don't know where they are. So you fall off from grace, and Christ is of no effect to your life. The death on the cross, everything Jesus did, you have no portion in it at all if you choose the law. It's grace that you accept everything Christ did for you on the cross. Simple. You can't mix both of them. Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. By whatever a man does, because salvation is of the Lord, there is no man who is going to be justified before God by what a man does. Can this thing sink in us? Can it sink into us? So we learn to walk by faith. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law, what God is provided, without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Say the law wrote it, the prophets wrote it, that this righteousness is not what you achieve, it's what God gives you because of the blood of Jesus. And let me remind us something. Our salvation was a supernatural act. Your salvation was a supernatural act. Christianity is a supernatural thing. On Sunday, by the grace of God, you see how the devil deceived a lot of people, were reduced it to natural things, and were seeing nothing. Christianity is a very supernatural thing because it's an act of God. Our salvation is supernatural. It's not a natural phenomenon. And when we reduce it to natural things that men do, we rob it of its power. We make it ineffective. 1 Corinthians 1:23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews, it's a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, it's a total foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the what? Power of God, and the wisdom. Complete supernatural phenomenon. That's the power of God. You cannot reduce what God is doing to what men are doing. We're talking on when God was talking about Jubilee. He said, this is holy unto me. Leave it like that. So I know you men. Leave it like that. When God said, this is holy unto me, what God is saying is, Do not interfere in it. Do not interject in it. Do not introduce your humanity into it. You will pollute it. Salvation is a supernatural phenomenon. But when you reduce it to human act, natural phenomenon, you take away God out of it. And scripture has told us that salvation belongs to God. So when you take away God out of it, you have nothing. You can have religion, but you don't have God in it. Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. It's not human wisdom. It's not what I think it should be like this. Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. It's a supernatural. That you are saved is the supernatural intervention of God in your life. It's not by what you do. Complete supernatural intervention. God starts it, God ends it. So when you reduce it to, you know, you to do this and you, it insults God. You take away. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. That salvation is not of yourself. It's the supernatural intervention of God into your life. When he sent his son to die on the cross, that was a supernatural act of God. That's the wisdom of God being executed on that place. You won't even understand it except the Holy Spirit teaches you what is happening. Praise the Lord. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works. Let any man should boast. There is nothing of man in it. There is nothing of man in it. And then through the atonement of our Lord Jesus Christ, this salvation was given to us. Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. Without shedding of blood, nobody is saved. Nobody has anything to do with God. We remain under judgment. What we are remembering today is what opens the door to divine blessing that God did by himself. It's an act of grace. It's an act of mercy. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood, church, it is the blood alone that makes an atonement for the soul, nothing else. Can we just believe the scripture and focus on Jesus and enter the benefits of grace? It is only the blood. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord did this. The Lord has laid on him the what? Open your mouth and talk. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of. That's a supernatural activity of God. It's not a religious thing. It's not a religious nothing. It's wisdom of God. It is what it's be. God said, my wisdom is far above you. Can't even understand it. What is it about God we understand? The love of God is beyond human understanding. The peace of God is beyond human. Everything God does is beyond you. It's beyond us. It's only the Holy Spirit that can make sense of this thing you are looking at. The blood was shed. The blood. It's only the Holy Spirit that can make sense of that thing, because it's beyond us to articulate that thing that happened on the cross. It's a supernatural intervention. It is the power of God. It is God at work, destroying things. Man, God was displaying his power. God laid on him. God took all your iniquities and what? All you need to do is to believe it. You don't have to do anything. Just believe it. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Romans 3:25. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they fast. Right? When they cry. When they do penance. When they confess to the Reverend Father. Oh no, let me pull that back. It's okay. Can do whatever. But there is only one thing the scripture says. When they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life for them, that's it. Don't add, don't remove. The book of Revelation says if you add, take your name out of this thing. Don't add, don't remove. Shedding his blood, the sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. Ephesians 1:7, in whom, if you are in Christ, if you believe in the Lord Jesus, when you give your life to Christ, you are in Christ, in whom, once you are in him, we have redemption, not going to. We have redemption through his blood. Through his blood. Through his blood. Nothing else. It is that blood that atoned for our sins and brought us forgiveness from God Almighty. It's that blood. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. According to the riches of his grace. You are saved by grace. According to the riches of his grace, his mercy, his love that passes human understanding. Wherein he had abandoned to us, towards us in all wisdom and prudence. See, Paul knew this. Paul knew this truth. So when Paul was preaching, he said, if I introduce human element in this, I will rob it of its power. I will degrade it to natural things. And it won't work. You know how we have degraded the things of God? Thinking that we have the option to do that. 1 Corinthians 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellent of what? Speech or of wisdom. Because this wisdom is not mine. It's not human. I did not come with excellent of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. The gospel is the testimony of the Spirit of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Christ Jesus and him crucified. So I don't want to. There's nothing else. It's only him. 3. I was with you in weakness. Listen to this. In fear. And in much trembling. Paul, why are you in weakness or trembling? He says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. I can't introduce anything man into this thing. It's sacred. It's the power of God. It's God at work. I cannot introduce it. I can't speak to help God. He said, if you read your translation, because God is the auditor of what I'm saying. He said, because I know before whom I stand. He said, I'm not going to introduce human wisdom to make persuade you to know. He said, this message is God's message, God's wisdom. I want this to come to you the way he said it and leave it with you. He said, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Our salvation is demonstration of God's power. Do you know when you walk in the gifts of the Spirit, you are demonstrating divine power. The life, okay, Sunday we'll talk about it. None. He says, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:17. For Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the good news, and not with clever speech, for fear that the cross of Christ must lose its power. If I interject anything human, I pollute it. The Spirit stops. The Holy Spirit stops. I will start doing things and attribute it to the Holy Spirit when he has stopped longest time. Ephesians 2:16. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility towards each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now, all of us, how many of us? All of us can come to who? To the Father through the same Holy Spirit. Why can we come? Oh, you don't put it up. I'm reading Ephesians 2:16. Ephesians 2:16. Okay, let me read it for you. The reason we can come is because of what Christ has done for us. Verse 18. Can we read 18 together? Come on, 1, 2, go. Now, all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit. Why? Because of what Christ has done for us. That's the only reason. You don't come because you are too good, you are too, I carry anointing. All those things they say, I don't want to comment on it. All those prideful stuff people do, thinking that God is doing things to glorify them. They have become the Spirit. I don't want to talk about it. Jesus taught us something. He said, if you want to be big in this kingdom, wash people's feet. Make yourself what? So God opened the door to his blessings when Jesus shed his blood and forgiveness was available to those who put their faith in Christ. To those who put their faith in Christ. To those who come to Christ and say, yes, what you did is for me. Immediately that blood was shed, and then you come to Christ and say, yes, I put my trust in you. You are the Lord of my salvation. God opens the door of blessings unto you. All of them. Praise the Lord. So, because your sins are forgiven, you are reconciled to God. That's why I say you can come. Because of that, what Jesus did, you are now reconciled to God. You are completely reconciled to God. There's nothing between you and God. You are reconciled. Then in Hebrews 10:18, and when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifice. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because I want you to talk because of the blood of Jesus. That's the only reason. That's the only reason. Church, that's the only reason. Because if that blood was not shed, your sins will remain right there. All of you remain right there. All of you. Verse 20. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place by his blood. 21. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, 22. Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting who? Fully trusting who? Him. Didn't say come there to trusting yourself, trusting this, trusting what? Salvation is of God. Trusting him. 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 For our guilty conscience have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. And our bodies have been washed with pure water. And you know, with this blood of Jesus, through which our sins are forgiven, God established a covenant between you and him. Can I hear amen? That covenant gives you all the blessings of God. You don't have to pay for it. It's already paid. You have prepaid card. Prepaid what? Card. You know, I was listening to one Kennedy. Somebody, a woman, a doctor. A doctor. Sandra Kennedy. He said he treats people. He said, doctor. So he went to the Lord. He said, Lord, I see patients in hospital. And many of them are Christians. He said, they're all suffering the same thing like the unbelievers. And he said, but the blood took care of all of that. He said, the blood took care of all of that. He said, really? He said, the blood took care of it. Read your Bible. When your sins are forgiven, you enter into divine blessings, all of it. Freely. I mean, if you can come into the presence of God boldly, tell me what blessing of God you can't enjoy. Point to one. Tell me one. Is it not because we don't believe the Bible? Because we're always looking for religious something we do. If I give you rituals to do now, Pastor, wake up by 12 midnight, turn to the right, then you turn to the left, then you jump 4 times, and when you jump, stay at a place so don't shake. Yeah, it looks like it. It is foolishness. It is from human wisdom. It's not from God. For God sacrificed his son and he shed his blood. And God says, you can come to me because of that blood. Because of that. And Jesus said, only believe. I will see. No, it's too simple. We can't do that. Oh, it's so simple. Only believe. Okay. Yeah, he said, but you know, my wisdom is foolishness. Because human mind cannot articulate only believe. So the new covenant, Hebrews chapter 9:15. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death. By means of death. By means of death. For the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant. That those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Receive the promise of every blessing of God. Because of this covenant established by death, by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, you and I can receive every inheritance, every blessing. What's inheritance? You don't even know what inheritance means. And you came to America before me. What is inheritance? What is inheritance? Inheritance is what belongs to your father. That you inherit. A blessing that is your right because of your relationship with your father. And the Bible says we are heirs of God. Joint heirs with who? Christ, equal heirs with Jesus. To all the blessings of God. All of it. Because of what Jesus did. Now, I want to tell us something. The devil has attacked this message right from when they started to preach it. You know, that's what they call the dark ages of Christian history. Let me tell you what it means. It was when this revelation of forgiveness of sin through the blood was lost to the church. Church, listen to me here. The problem in this world is not really the unbelievers. It's when the church loses direction. Because the church is the light of the world. When the light of revelation is taken away from the church, the whole world is in confusion. The solution to world's problem doesn't lie with politicians. It lies with the body of Christ. It was Margaret Thatcher who said that if Britain fails, he said, we lay the fault at the feet of the church. Yep. So the devil is not bothered with the people in the world because they are his children. It's only bothered with the church. Because if the light is there, the church becomes the light of the whole world. If a country is corrupt, it's because the church is not living up to its standard. Period. If the church rises in its glory and begins to set standards everywhere we are, Corruption will not succeed. But if we live like the world, we talk like the world, we are corrupt like the world, we are lazy like the world, we don't serve with faithfulness, we act like them, who will stop it? Who will stop it? You go to your place of work, you don't respect your supervisor, you insult your supervisor, you are so rude, you are this. Who will stop it? The person sent there to be light, there's no light. So the devil fought the church and took away the revelation of the truth of forgiveness by the blood. And what he gave them, again, human wisdom. They began to teach absolution of sins by penance, payment of money. They prescribed some sums of money. If you pay, your sins are forgiven. They began to prescribe processes. So you go to this person, confess it, your sins are forgiven. They began to, and then the worst of it is that they began to make people go through pain. Through pain. Until Martin Luther, a monk, he was listening to the church. See how wicked the devil is. He was with his knees. He was going up the staircase, paying for his sins. Not leg. Knees. You know how painful it can be? He was going up, and he will come down. He will go up. Read story. That's how backsliding the church was. And then while he was doing that, the Holy Spirit spoke to his ears. The just shall live by. Then he asked a question. He said, so why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? That's how he started to tell them that the just shall live by what? And they were pushing him to kill him. That revelation died until Martin Luther came. And God began to bring it back to the church. Between Martin Luther and Charles Wesley, 200 years, the devil came again, took away the thing. Charles Wesley was on a ship going back to London or something. He met some Peruvian Christians. They started to teach him that salvation is in the Lord. They began to teach him. Then he went back to England. He said, these people have shown me something I didn't know. That faith in Christ solves my problem. 200 years in between them, that revelation came back. And then when it came back, churches began to bubble. Salvation Army started. A Methodist church started. There was evangelism was all over. The power of God was moving all over. Jesus was being glorified. Then the thing died again. Go and look at the Methodist church today. Look at Salvation Army today. Go and look at all those churches that used to do waves today. That revelation died. And church, let me tell us something. It is dying today. I'm warning you. This revelation of salvation of by faith in Christ, the blood of Jesus washing away our sins, is dying today. People are being taken back to what they will do to get their sins what? Forgiven. It is popular. See if I'm wrong. Very popular. People are prescribing all manner of things for people to do so that they will find favor with God. That revelation is no more in the body of Christ. The same way that the major purpose of our forgiveness of sin is lost to the body of Christ. We'll talk about it on Sunday. Praise the Lord. And when the church can't find power, people start going to native doctors to get power. And they start telling people, it may not be the will of God to heal you. Because they don't apply to you. Praise the Lord. We have to go back to that revelation. Because there's no salvation in you. Can I hear amen? Anything that takes your faith away from Christ and his blood takes you away from Christianity and focuses you on what you do. Salvation cannot be of you. Salvation is always of the Lord. Even the Bible says we are kept by the power of God. Look at this. Are you following me? If you are following me, say amen. It's not just Good Friday. Yeah, Jesus shed his blood for us. Do you understand what it means to you? Do you really believe that because of that blood, your sins are forgiven? And that the blessings of God are yours by covenant. By covenant. By, God said, I will not break this covenant. By covenant. All the blessings of God are yours. Acts 8:34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. Not long story. Jesus. Not you have to do. No. He didn't preach sin to him. He preached Jesus. He did not preach sin to him. Oh, Paul said, when I come among you, I don't want to know anything except Christ and him, because he is the solution to your problem. He's the one God sent to provide you solution. Through his blood, forgave your sins. And through his blood, he gave you freedom from demonic oppression. I don't have time. I don't have time. Gave you freedom from demonic oppression. Through that blood, they delivered you from the power of sin. Through that blood. But if you don't know these things now, how do you experience freedom from sin? Isn't salvation a complete deliverance? Huh? Including sin, including Satan, including sickness. Isn't it a complete deliverance? If you don't know these things, then you can walk outside of grace and thinking your laws and things you do will get it for you, get frustrated. You know, it's easy to trust yourself. Very easy. The same way it's easy to worship human beings. A lot of people worship human beings today. I'm not making this up. So many. Again, because of lack of revelation of this simple fact that your sins are what? Forgive. You have peace with God. If I have peace with God and I can go to God, why do I need a prophet? Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. One sister was seeking baptism of the Holy Spirit. He wasn't getting. He went and said, Lord, I want to talk with you. He said, Jesus, why am I not being baptized in the Holy Spirit? The Lord said, yep, now we're talking. It's because there are four people you need to forgive. I said, I will do that, no problem. He went and wrote them, I've forgiven you. Then he said, this was what? Then the Lord told him more things. I said, I didn't know this one. He said, yes. Then he began to do them. And then the Lord told him more things. And then when he finished, the Lord said, there's one more. If you do this, I baptize you. He said, immediately I did that, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. The power was surging out of me. There was no struggle, nothing. We struggle with the power of God. Struggle with everything. We don't see much. The scripture, without revelation, is mere word. Without revelation, the letter kill it. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went in their way, they came unto a certain water. The eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is what?" Stop here. If it's today, tell me the next thing we're going to do. 5 minutes, we are still praying for him to be saved. Because we're not sure. Because we're not sure. Is it? Yeah. That's it. Watch today. 5, 10, we're not finished. Because we're not sure. Do you have any record in the Bible where Christians were praying when people have received Jesus? They asked Paul, say, what can I do to be saved? Only believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall what? We don't believe that. One time I went to a pastor. I said, "Pastor, the Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee." I said, "This fire thing, is it a name?" Say, "Yeah." I said, "Does every knee bow to it?" What quick scripture? I said, "I didn't read that the name of Jesus and fire." I said, Yusuf. You always ask this kind of question. I said, no, because I want to make sure I'm following scripture. There's only one name given to man whereby we are saved. This fire, sir, you are my pastor. This fire, show me scripture. I will believe. Only one name, not another. There's no other name given to man here by which we are saved. I said, the only name God glorified is the name of Jesus. Sir, did he glorify fire? I said, I want to know now, because you are my pastor. Pastor Reverend, he said, you safe, my friend, go. That's why I ended. I like to follow the Bible, because I know I don't have wisdom. Wherever the Bible stops, I do what? Stop there. Anything beyond that will put you in trouble. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. It won't happen to their church. It would. Check everywhere you go. Make a mental note of this. Anywhere you go, check when they start making attack and what they're doing with those people. See, then, check now. Even when I got saved, they told me that I was not sanctified, that I was still a sinner. Yeah. My wife and I. So we started to sanctify. So we stopped wearing good shoes. So we are sanctified. She would go to teach students with bathroom slippers. So they were sanctified. All of them, not one single. Once you are washed, you are clean, you are clean, you are clean, you are at peace with God. You enjoy all the blessings of God. Look at the testimony of God. I think I'll close with this. 1 John 5:11. "And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son," verse 12. "He that had the Son had what? Life. And he that had not the Son had not life." Verse 13. "These things have I written unto you that believe." This is God's testimony, church. It's not your testimony. This is God that saves people. He's telling us what it is. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have." If you believe on the name of the Son of God, God says you have eternal life. "And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Why don't we believe the gospel? Jesus said it is finished. You are since Romans 3:25. God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe. When they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. They believe that. That this sacrifice, this atonement is for me. God said, you are now made right with me. Praise the Lord. Acts 10:42. And he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be the judge of all the living and the dead. He is the one all the prophets testified about. All the prophets said this, saying that everyone who believes in him, that word keeps recurring, believe in him, believe in him, believe in him, believe in him. Everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his. They don't have to, they don't have to do anything else. Again, it is the power of God. It is God at work. Salvation is of God. You can't reduce it to natural. You rob it of his power. You take a sacred thing and make it a natural thing. You take God out of it. A lot of people are going about who are not saved. They are not saved. Because people think they are the ones that saved them. They are not saved. And you see their life, it doesn't change. They don't even understand what they're teaching. But they don't have the Spirit of God. Good Friday. That's why it's Good Friday. Our sins have been what? Forgiven. You have peace with God. And by covenant, all the blessings of heaven are yours. Including healing too. Including healing too. All the blessings of God. All the blessings of God. All the blessings of God. All the inheritance of God. God says, I bless you with all spiritual blessings in heaven. I've kept nothing back. Everything I have is yours. Praise the Lord.